the fourth reading of Parshas Ki Sovei, Moshe Rabbeinu begins to instruct the Jewish people about the first day in the Holy Land of Israel. It's going to be a busy one. Chapter 27, Vayitzav Moshe v'ziknei Yisrael es ha'am, and Moses and the elders of Israel instruct the nation. Lamer saying, Shomer eskol ha'mitzvah asher anoichi mitzava eschem hayom. You have to very scrupulously and carefully observe all the mitzvahs that I am going to give you today, although it says it's kol ha-mitzvah. So Rashi says, this is not something about the distant future. Keep the mitzvahs when? This is lashon hoiva, this is now. You have to continuously, always keep the mitzvahs. And he gives us a French word. So firstly, he says, here's what you have to do now, today, always, continuously. That's what you have to do. Then he says, it'll come to pass in the day that you cross the Jordan River, El Ha'aretz Asher Hashem Alekecha Noisen Loch, into the land that the Lord your God gives you. You will establish large stones, and the Sadata Isim Besid, you'll coat them in lime. So the details of what exactly happened and how they set up these stones is not really clarified here in the scripture. So Rashi essentially borrows a number of descriptions from the book of Yehoshua in chapters 4 through 8, where we speak about the Jewish people coming into the land of Israel and what they did. And that's where he kind of fills in what's missing over here. Rashi begins by telling us that Bayarden, in the Jordan River itself, as a memory of the crossing of the Jordan River and the miracle that happened. So there were stones that were established there. And then afterwards, Toitzi Misham, you'll take stones out from the river bed. These are Acheres, not the same stones. You'll set up 12 stones to know where you cross the Reed Sea. Then there'll be 12 other stones that you harvest from the riverbed. V'tivne mehem mizbeach bahar Evel. You're gonna build a mizbeach on a mountain called Evel. That's where we're going to find out there's going to be curses that are given. And that's where you'll write the things that Moshe Rabbeinu instructs them now, and they'll bring various offerings upon that mountain. And of course, this is exactly what Yehoshua did, as it describes in detail in the 8th chapter of the book of Joshua. It says that Yehoshua built the altar, and he wrote on the stones the repetition of the Torah, the Mishnah Torah, the book of Deuteronomy, which was delivered by Moshe Rabbeinu, and then he took the Mizbeach apart, and he brought those stones to Gilgal, and over there he set up a monument. Nimtzeis ata Omer, Rashi says, you can see here that there actually are three sorts of stones. Shloisha mini avonim hayu. There was shtei mesrei biyarding, 12 stones set up in the Jordan River itself, which commemorated the area that they crossed the Jordan River. Ucha negdan, and correspondingly, symmetrically, there was Big Gilgal. There was 12 stones set up in a place called Gilgal. That was the first camp of the Jewish people in the Holy Land. Uchanegdon. And then there was another 12 stones, and these 12 stones were used to build a Mizbeach. And that happened in Har Evel, in Mount Evel. Kedisa ben Mesech HaSeita, as the Gemara in Mesech HaSeita on page 35 explains to us in great detail. So that's the business of the stones. That's the three sets of stones. Stones in the Jordan, stones in Gilgal, and finally stones for which a Mizbeach was built in Har Evel. Moshe Rabbeinu gives instructions about the stones. He says, V'chasavta aleihem eskol divrei ha-Torah hazeis. You'll write on these stones, you'll inscribe these stones with all of the words of this Torah. L'ma'an, in order, asher tovi el ha'oretz es asher Hashem alekech ha-neisen l'cha, so that you might be brought into the land that the Lord God gives you. And Eretz Zovas Cholav Advash, a land that flows with milk and honey. Kasha Dibir Hashem, Melekeh Vesech Aloch, the way the Lord God has spoken to your ancestors. So now we know that you have to set up these large stones, and we also know that after covering them with lime, they have to be inscribed with the entire Torah. So our sages tell us that the stones were inscribed indeed, as we'll soon find out in Rashi. This was done b'shivim lashon. As the Torah goes on to narrate the details, Moshe Rabbeinu says in verse 5, Uvanisa, you will build Shom Mizbech LaHashem Alekecha, a mizbeach for the Lord your God. A mizbeach avanim, it'll be a mizbeach, an altar made entirely of stone. Leisonif aleim barzel, there'll be no iron used to chisel or score the stones. Avanim shleimais, they'll be organically whole, natural stone. Tivne es mizbeach Hashem alekecha, you build the altar of the Lord your God. V'ha'alisa olav oilis l'Hashem alekecha, you'll bring scent offerings to the Lord your God. V'zavachta shlomim, and then you'll bring shlomim offering. And those are partly burnt in the mizbeach and partly eaten by the Kohanim or others. So v'achalta sham, you'll eat it. V'samachta l'fnei Hashem alekecha, and you'll rejoice before the Lord your God. So these karbonos are directly linked to the concept of the samachta. It means you'll be joyous for having come into the land of Israel. And then in verse 8 we hear, v'chasavta ha'alavonim, you'll write on these stones, as kol divrei ha'Torah hazeis, all of the words of this Torah. Bayar heitev, you'll write it well explained. What does it mean, bayar heitev? Rashi says, v'shuvim loshen, the archetypal, proverbial, 70 languages, spoken languages. So you'll write the whole Torah on the stones.
What kind of stones are these?
Very big.
So the Ibn Ezra quotes a Psad Yigon as saying that they must have been enormous stones to write.
But from the Jordan River.
From the Jordan River. But the Ibn Ezra says, in the name of the Psad Yigon, that they weren't actually written the whole Torah. He says it was just a list of 613 mitzvahs. It's called the whole Torah, but it's a list of 613 mitzvahs. That's what they wrote there. Ramban says that clearly these had to be enormous stones, or he says this whole thing was miraculous. And either way, the fact that it was all done in one afternoon means it had to be miraculous. So we're talking about a miraculous event that happened with large stones when the Jewish people came into the land of Israel. The Psad Yigon says when you come to the land of Israel, so that these large stones would be like a monument. You come at the border, say, here's what we stand for, this is our constitution. A list of the mitzvahs, be easy to read. And that says B'shivim Lashon in 70 languages. For anybody who would come, people would be able to understand. At any rate, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Vaydaber Hashem, Moshe v'Akeinim, Moshe and the Kohenim speak, and the Levites, the Kohenim, who are from the tribe of Levi, I'll call Yisrael to the people of Israel, and they say, Haske Sushma Yisrael, listen up, you Jewish people. Hayyim Azeni Yisolam Lashem Alikecha. It is today that you have become a nation unto the Lord your God. Rashi says, Haskes is kitargume, like the Targum renders it. Atzeis, listen up. Ayei mazeh, today they became a nation? That's interesting. What happened today? Oh, no, no. Well, really, every day. Every day you became a nation. That is to say, b'chol yoim, yiyu beinecho kilo hayoim, basam imei bebris. That every day you should see as if today you have come into the covenant. Very similar to what we talked about yesterday, the idea of the mitzvahs being fresh. And because that's the case, we should listen carefully to all of the words of the Lord our God. Now, the question becomes this. What's up with the Mizbeach on Har Evel? Why did it have to be built there? There's going to be two mountains that feature very prominently, two mountains when we come into the land of Israel. They are known as Har Grizim and Har Evel. In Har Grizim, there was six of the tribes standing. On Har Evel, there was the other six of the tribes standing, right? The divided the people, the color war. And the two mountains and the Kohanim were in the middle. And then the Kohanim began to chant. And they would turn to Har Grizim and they would say, Baruch Ha'ish, blessed is the person. And then they would turn to Har Evel and they would say, Arun Ha'ish, cursed is the person. And this way it went back and forth 11 times. So Rabbi Yosef, Bechor Shoyer, also known as Zivosh, he says that this is because there was the curses were delivered on Har Evel. And it seems that when they got these harsh words, like Arur HaIsh, cursed is a person who doesn't establish this Torah, so therefore the entire Torah was actually written there, and they accepted upon themselves a Torah that says, with like a klola, like a curse, saying this is not an elective thing. Judaism is not, if you like it, grab it, enjoy it, have fun with it. You don't want, that's fine. No, it doesn't work that way. You get, the blessings are not elective. There's actually negativity coming your way if you don't. And he says something else. He says, the people who are standing on Har Evel, what do you think they felt like? Mm-hmm. They're getting all the curses. People standing on Har Grizim, they felt great. They're getting all the blessings. So in order to give them a little comfort, that's why the Mizbeach, with the offerings, is built on Har Evel. It's So the people of Har Evel felt like we have the Beis HaMikdash. It wasn't really a Beis HaMikdash, but it was a Mizbeach. It was an altar. And the Karbanot, the offerings are brought there. And the offerings create this connection, this closeness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So they were on the mountain in which curses were delivered, but it was also the mountain of the offerings. And that's why the Mizbeach was built at Har Evel, not on Har Gerizim. That's what Rivash says. So what's the joy about? It says, V'samachta lefnei Hashem alikecha. The Sepharno says, the joy is that you're entering into a covenant with the Lord your God. That's a cause for joy.
The curses and the blessings occurred once in history, right? Jewish history.
The curses and blessings was once in Jewish history is the day we came into Israel.
Israel, okay.
Yeah, who delivered it? Hakoyim and Leviim. Reb Sadi Goren says, that's the whole tribe. The Kohanim and the Leviim. But the Targum Yonasan ben Aziel says, Kahana, Kahanaya ben Levi. It was the Kohanim who were from the tribe of Levi. So, there's different ways of understanding exactly what this means. But at any rate, they were told to listen up carefully. And Moshe Rabbeinu at that time said, this is what's going to be happening. There's going to be some of you standing on Har Evel, some of you standing on Har Gerizim, and there's going to be blessings and curses that are coming your way.
And this is before any of the conquering of the land occurred. This is like they crossed over?
This is they crossed over, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So why did Moshe Rabbeinu, it says, Vayitzav Moshe? Moshe had to give a command. Vayitzav comes the word mitzvah, or to instruct. Moshe said, this is how it's going to be. Why did Moshe have to say that? Why couldn't he just tell him? So the Sif Sikarinim says, because the people who are going to have to stand on Har Gerizim say, no, we don't want to do that. Moshe says, this is an instruction.
You mean Har Evel?
Har Evel, pardon me. This is an instruction. You need to do this. And it's not you being cursed, but ultimately, it's all of the people, the Jewish people. It's a choice we have. That's to the Ei Anochi. It goes back to the parasha a few weeks ago. You see, it's right in front of you. Bracha or klala, blessings or curses. You have to choose. It's up to you. You can choose either way. You know, there's a lot of people who are afraid to get the sixth aliyah this week because it has all kinds of curses in it. So what happens? The Baal Korah gets the curses. Chas v'shalom. The Jewish people... are receiving the word of Hashem. It's just because nobody wants to be singled out and people are afraid, so we get accustomed. The Baal Korah just keeps reading. It makes the blechas, it keeps reading. My Zayd, Allah Shalom, once told me that in the shtetl where his father was a Rav, they didn't have a custom where the Baal Korah refused to take the aliyah, and nobody was at the aliyah. And the whole shul, he remembers as a boy, the whole shul was at a standstill. And he told me he remembers his father stood up and he says, give me the aliyah. I'm not afraid of an aliyah of Torah, give me the aliyah. Anyway, what happens is that the Jewish people actually listen to Hashem. As we continue in the fifth reading, Elu Yamdu Levarach HaSa'am. These are the ones who will stand to bless the people, Al Har Gerizim. Ba'avrachem es hayardim when you go across the Jordan River. Who are they? Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Yosef, and Binyamin. Ve'elu Yamdu Al HaKlola. And these are the ones who will stand there to get the curse on Har Evel. And who are they? Reuven, Gad, Asher, Zvulun, Dan, and Naphtali. And then in verse 14, Vanu Halavim, the Levim will raise their voices up. V'yamru, and they will say, El Kol Ish Yisrael, to all of the Jewish people, not to the people of one mountain or the other. And they start to say, Oror Ish Ashayase Pesel Vaseicha, cursed is the person who's going to make any kind of molten image or idol. Toya Vas Hashem, this is abominable to God. Maisi Dechorosh, the hands of an artisan, the work of an artisan. Vasom Vaseicha, and he puts it quietly, in a hidden place, so he could politically be correct and look like he's a very devout person and very pious, but really, behind closed doors, he's worshiping idols. And the people said, V'anu chol ha'am, the whole people said, Amen. Wherein? Oro makla v'vimei, who cursed is the person who demeans his father and mother? And the people said, Amen. And so it goes here. We have now 11 different curses straight through. So what's 11 curses? What does the number 11 correspond to? To be 12.
12 tribes minus 1?
12 tribes, yeah, 12 tribes minus 1 is 11. The question is, why do we have 12 tribes? So you take a look at Rashi. In verse 24, Rashi says that Moshe HaDarshan is the one, that Moshe the preacher, he gave us the insight here. He said, Achad Asar Arum, there's going to be 11 curses here. And that's Keneged Yud Aleph Shvatim. That corresponds to? 11 tribes. It's not 11 tribes. It's 12 tribes. What's going on with it? So he says, that's because Keneged Shimon Likasav Ar. corresponding to Shimon, you didn't want to curse. Why not? You didn't want to bless him. And because he didn't want to bless him, that's why he didn't want to curse him. And therefore, he made it 11, not 12. So of course, the obvious question is, okay, like that's like arbitrary. He pulled it out of a hat. He says, Keneged Shimon, Lehoya. Shimon could be any of the 12. How do you know that's Keneged Shimon? How do you know that Shimon is the one who wasn't included? Maybe it was somebody else who wasn't included. It's just 11.
Why would it be Shimon?
Huh?
Why would it be Shimon?
Why would it be Shimon?
Yeah.
Because Shimon made a lot of trouble. The story with Zimri and the Moabite princess. And they put Moshe through the gauntlet with Moshe. And they said, who told you we can marry Midianite? So he made a lot of trouble there. And Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to bless him.
Does it also stem from Shimon's attack on...
Yeah, Shimon and Levi were troublemakers. Of course, Levi rises to great prominence. And Shimon becomes like itinerant preachers and what is it called? Schoolhouse on the Prairie teachers. And they have to go from place to place and teach the kids on the farms. So the truth is that there are multiple ways of understanding these curses, how they correspond to the different tribes. In fact, the Abarbanel and Rabbi Dov Luria, for example, are not the only ones. They explain in a very interesting way how Shimon has been exempted. And the Abarbanel actually even includes Shimon. He says Shimon really, really ultimately got blessed, and there is a curse for Shimon too. But the thing is this, the Rebbe says their methodology is all futuristically oriented. And that wouldn't work for Rashi. Because what Rashi needs is something that the child who's learning the Chumash now should be able to understand. How would he understand it? He would have to understand it based on everything he's learned up till this point. He can't know about what he learned in the future. The child's learning the Chumash in order. And in order to know everything, understand every little detail, he's going to have to remember everything he learned. So that means there must be already a hint as to which curse would go to which tribe that even a child can figure out. And the question is, what is that? Because Rashi doesn't elaborate. So it must be that you can figure it out by yourself. So it took the school child known as Ben Chamish LeMikra, who lives in the Rebbe's Sichus, to figure this out. And here is a digest of the 11 different Arurim, where you see the 11 curses, how they correspond to all the tribes, and you'll notice that Shimon is actually absent. Page Pezayin. Let's go through this. So let's take the first curse. It says, cursed is the person who makes a molten image. So what is that? Which tribe does that correspond to? Which tribe had a proclivity for idolatry? Or have we already read in the Torah was kind of leaning towards that behavior, that they needed to be scared straight and warned, don't you dare. I'll give you a hint. You have to reach deep, deep, deep into the very beginning of the story of our peoplehood. Go back to the time of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu? Yeah.
No tribes then?
Well, there were no Shvatim, but the Torah alludes to certain things already then, and Rashi talks about it. The question was not whether these events happened. The question was, does a child learning the Chumash now have the ability to figure this out? So the Rebbe said that the business of the pestle, of the molten image, and of the idol refers to the tribe of Dan. Why Dan? Sha'asidim lahamid b'nachalosam, they would establish in their ancestral inheritance in their province, they would establish an eagle. They would establish a golden calf to worship for Avodah Zarah. How do we know this? We didn't get there yet. Because Rashi tells us in Parshas Lech Lecha, when Avraham Avinu pursued the captors of Lot, it says, Vayirdaif, he pursued them ad Dan. Aha, until Dan. Rashi says, what do you mean ad Dan? And Rashi's words are, Shom Toshash Koichi. This is where Avraham Avinu ran out of steam. Sherosh Asidim Banov Lahamid B'Sham Ego. Because he came to the spot and he had a premonition. He said, this is the place where my children will establish a calf, a golden calf. So the children, while learning the Chumash and Parshas Kisaveh, they remember this in Parshas Lech Lecha. They go, oh, Dan? That's right. He's the guy. That's the tribe that's going to be predisposed to making an idol. Or Makla Avavimai. Who is the one who might, you know, demean their parents, not properly respect?
Reuven.
No, the Rebbe says this corresponds to Shevet Asher, because it says Avivim, my father and mother.
Oh, okay.
And Reuven was just disrespectful to his father.
Father.
So he says it's written in the blessings of Yaakov, in Parshas Vayechi, It says over there, Asher Shmeina Lachmai, that Asher gives delicacies, rich delicacies. V'hu yitim adani melech. He will give the delicacies of the king. In other words, that the children are going to have extraordinary affluence. What happens when children have extraordinary affluence? What does the young generation do? When they grow up with tremendous plenty, invariably they become highly disrespectful to their parents. And we hear about that earlier in the Torah, that we read about parents doing very well, and then it goes south. And the parents have a son who's a sore rumore, he's a rebellious child. And they say, Bonenu zeh sore rumore, this child of ours is rebellious, and enu shomeh bekaleinu, doesn't listen to us, zolel v'sove. He's a boozer and a binger. In other words, he is somebody prone to excesses, to the excessive material pursuit. So we see that the affluence or the prosperity of Usher, and especially with regard that he'll have so much that his children will inherit so much, that already we're predisposed to a situation where they'll be disrespectful. It doesn't mean they have to be. It means there's a predisposition. In other words, you have to know what your weakness is. When you know what your issues are, you know how to contend with them. Number three, Or of Masigvul Re'eyu, the next curse is about somebody who might move the property line, try to usurp somebody else's property. So this corresponds to Yisachar, because once again in the blessings of Yaakov, Yisachar is metaphorized as a chamar gorim, as a bony donkey, who's roivetz bein ha-mishposayim, who crouches at the borders. In other words, he's always pushing the envelope. He's always crouching at the border. He's always at the property lines. And therefore, a guy, this Yisachar is pushing the property lines. He said, well, don't push the property lines. Oru masig vureyu. Oru mashge iver baderech. Cursed is the person who would give bad advice to the person who's blind in that area and cause him to stumble. This refers to Binyamin. Why Binyamin? Because many of his children were cut down by their own fellow Jews. Where were they cut down? In the desert. Why were they cut down? Because there was a rebellion, a sedition, and the people decided we're going back to Egypt 40 years later. And what happened? And the Jewish people had to pursue them. And it says, Kishemes Aaron, when Aaron HaKohen died, Nistal Kanani HaKovid, the clouds of glory dissipated. The Kananim, which is a code name for Amalek, came and attacked the Jewish people. And the people lost their desire. They lost, they became demotivated. And they wanted to go back. And it says that Bnei Levi pursued them. And they fought with them. And they made them come back. But not after a heavy and bloody price was paid. Who paid the bloody price? Binyamin. Binyamin did. How do we know this? Because when we speak of the families of Binyamin, there's entire families that are missing. Where'd the families go? He said, oh, sorry to tell you, these families, they didn't make it. They were lost in the civil war. So that civil war that's referred to as Binyamin, that is five families from Binyamin were lost. Now it's true there was one family of Gad that was lost and one family from Shimon, but five families from Binyamin. So that's the Mashge Iver Bederech. They were blind on the way. They had a blind spot, a huge blind spot on the way, and they lost their clarity. Or Mata Mishpat, cursed is the one who might pervert justice. That would naturally correspond to Yehuda. Why is that? Because Yaakov has already identified Yehuda as the source of law. Yaakov Rabina says, Liyasa shaved me Yehuda, no tribe shall depart from Yehuda, umachaikek, and the lawgiver who will come forth from him. Arush Shaychevim Ishes Aviv, cursed is the person who might sleep with his father's wife. Oy vey. This corresponds to Reuven, because that's what it says about Reuven. Vayelach Reuven, vayishkav es Bila pelegeshaviv. Reuven went and slept with Bila, but it never really happened that way. And it was only Bilbo Yitzuyov, he just moved his father's bedding around. But the Torah uses that euphemism. So the tribe of Reuven had then a predisposition, a proclivity, chas v'shalom, in that direction. Moshe said, don't you dare. Off limits, this is not good behavior. Number seven, Ara Sheikh of Behema. It's getting worse. Now you have people sleeping with sheep. Who does that correspond to?
Somebody who has a lot of sheep, obviously.
Somebody who really likes the sheep, yeah.
So that would have to be
Reuven, we talked about it already. Katzi Sheva Menashe only got stuck there.
God.
Beautiful. Now you're thinking like a Bechamish Lemikra. Okay, good, very good. What's the next one? Or a Sheikh of Machoise. Oy vey. This guy is with his sister. This is not good. This corresponds to Naphtali. Why? Because, why does it correspond to Naphtali? Because Naphtali's name comes from Naphtuli, Alekim, Naphtalti, and Machoise. I became connected to my sister. I caught up with my sister. Rachel Imenu was trying to have children, and she was bringing children into the world, and she gave her maidservant, his name was Billa, and she says, ah, Naphtali. I got bound, connected, sewn to my sister. So there's a certain closeness, a sister a closeness over there. And therefore we could see that there was a special closeness between these siblings, and with the special closeness, that's a good thing, but everything is a double-edged sword, so it has to be with care. Or Sheikhavim Chisantai, oy vey. Now we have a person has to be warned not to sleep with, you guessed it, his mother-in-law. And who does that correspond to? Who does that correspond to? Mother-in-law. Come on, you should know this. A good ben chamer shel mikra, you have to know this. Yosef! Yes. He marries Potiphar's daughter.
Okay.
Potiphar's wife from...
He didn't actually do it.
He didn't do anything, but there's a...
He almost...
I know he wasn't his mother-in-law at the time, but she did become his mother-in-law, and he almost, until the image of Yaakov came and he ran out. So there's a predisposition. So that would correspond to Yosef. Cursed is the one who strikes down his friend. Who struck down his friends? Or who struck down other people? Who took a sword at the age of 13 and went on a rampage? You know, Shimon and Levi, but Levi's not. But Shimon's not included here, so it must be Levi.
So how do you know it's for Levi and not Shimon?
Because we know that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to curse Shimon because they want to bless him. So therefore, we're gonna have something that works for each of the tribes.
Well, Levi's a holy tribe.
Levi is a holy tribe. They turned it around.
Why would you need to?
They turned it around. They're being warned. Doesn't that getting cursed? Cursed is a person who does this. Shimon, he divided up. He didn't trust him. Levi put it left in a position of power. And incidentally, Levi maintains his military prowess and strength when it comes to the time of Chanukah. As Rashi tells us when he comments on the blessings to Levi, which is a blessing also of military prowess and might. In the Zeis HaBracha, Rashi comments that it refers to the Chashmonai. We have no record of Shimon being anything like that. And finally, cursed is the person who takes bribery, who loved money, who was doing really well, who had a big fat bank account. It wasn't Yisachar, he was busy learning Torah. It was Zvulun.
Yeah.
Zvulun was the merchant, he was making the money. So you say, you can make the money, do the right thing with it, don't leave it. They say, money is like manure. If you spread it around, it makes tremendous amount of growth in you. If you leave it in one place, it stinks like a pile of it. And so, the point here is that Zvulun has this predisposition to money, and therefore he says, don't have sticky fingers, and don't look for bribes, no corruption. And so we see the Rebbe says you can actually identify all of the 11 different curses to each of one of the particular Shvatim, and the only Shevet who's missing is Shimon. That's the point. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to bless him, he also wasn't going to make any corresponding kind of Aror. And so now we see how this perfect corollary, beautiful symmetry in the mountain of blessings, the canyon of curses, everything worked out just exactly so.
What was exactly Shimon's?
We should all be blessed, and nobody should do anything wrong. And we should have any curses. And it should be, they say, Tich L'Shono Klo Yisrael. Today is Chai Elul. It's the beginning of the final count up to Rosh Hashanah. On Chai Elul, we correspond to last year's high holidays in Tishrei. And we say, Tich L'Shono Klo Yisrael, that this year and all of its curses, speaking of curses, should come to their end. Taschel Shono Bechiseha, a new year filled with only blessings, should unfold, and we should only hear good news in Metz Hashem from Tav Shem Pei.
Amen.